Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sib and the Swede podcast. This is our first episode on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Gus Elvin. We're going to have Ben Arledge in here in a minute. And for our first show, it's a good time of the year to get into the NHL. We're talking about the NHL trade line. A lot of deals went down the last few days. Today was a rather quiet day leading up to the last few hours, but some deals got in right under the buzzer. And I'm going to bring in Ben Arledge now, my co-host, to talk a little bit more about some of these deals that went through today. Starting with some of the deals that went through last week and really started this trade deadline off with a splash.
Hey, Gus. Happy to join the show. Yeah, obviously we talked a lot last night about the deals that went down our last couple of weeks leading up to the deadline, starting, of course, with the Evander Kane trade when he went to Winnipeg in exchange for a package around Tyler Myers and a first-round pick. Then Enroth went over to Dallas for a little goaltending support. We talked about that deal as well. Cody Franson and Mike Santorelli came from Toronto over to Nashville to support that already very stacked team out in the West. Sean Bergenheim was dealt to Minnesota from Florida, who has been promptly replaced with Jeremy Jagr. Yuri Talusi went to Winnipeg as well. Daniel Winnick helped out in the penalty kill and brought his plus 15 out to Pittsburgh. Toronto and Columbus swapped Nathan Horton and David Clarkson, an interesting deal. Nathan Horton obviously out, might not ever play hockey again, but basically a salary dump for Toronto there. Kimmo Timonen just came back from blood clots, and he'll join Chicago's point. And Vermette will also move over to Chicago and play a little center there, bring his strong face-off play at the dot. Tim Gleason will help out on the point as a third pairing in Washington. And Thomas Fleischman goes over to Anaheim for Danny Heatley in a third-round pick. Heatley obviously on the back end of his career now. Curtis Glenkross also went to Washington for picks, help out up front. And the big deal, of course, yesterday was the Keith Yandle deal. He went to New York Rangers in a package that included young prospect Anthony DeClaire, John Moore, and a couple of picks. That'll immediately make the Rangers one of the favorites out of the East. Leif Stempniak went to Winnipeg and basically a salary move. The Rangers then brought in James Shepherd to play a little center and hopefully move Kevin Hayes to the wing. And the final deal that went down yesterday of importance was the Eric Cole deal. He went to the Red Wings, brought some veteran goal scoring over there. A lot of deals went down today. I know we were looking at them all day long. Boston made a couple of moves, right, Gus?
They did. A lot of people will rank Boston as one of the losers of this deadline. And I think to a point that's fair. They didn't go out and make that huge splash. There wasn't the Jordan Eberle coming in. They didn't get Cam Atkinson, a guy from Connecticut who has Boston ties playing at BC, who the Bruins were heavily linked to in the final few days here. Another guy, Matt Beleski, who'd been thrown out. But the Bruins don't do anything major. But I think subtly they had a very good deadline. And I'm going to say that for a few reasons. One, I think they get Brett Conley at a real bargain here. You trade 2 second-round picks. Yes, those picks are valuable. But you get a guy who was the number 6 overall pick on just a few years ago in the 2010 NHL draft. This kid's 22 years old. He has a 31-goal season in the AHL, a couple other 20-goal seasons. He hasn't been a top 6 forward on a young, talented team like the Lightning. Hasn't really got to be utilized ideally there. I think this gives him a chance to move to a higher line, play with some skilled players. And I think this is going to be a really good trade for Boston. Like I said, giving up picks to get a guy who came in with a reputation as a pure goal scorer. He scored goals in the minors. He's played for Canada at all the junior levels and been a highly touted prospect his entire life. I think the Bruins get someone very cheap against the cap here, only give up a few picks. And I think Brett Conley is going to be a guy here that not only helps his team down the stretch, but is a guy that they'll re-sign And could be a real nice player for Boston in the next few years. The other deal, a lesser deal, but a deal that I still think really helps the Bruins out. You trade Jordan Caron, who's been pretty much a zero now for 3 years here in Boston. This is a guy who has 2 goals in his final 75 games as a Boston Bruin over the last 3 seasons. You bring in a guy like Max Talbot, who's won a Stanley Cup with Pittsburgh. He's been to a Stanley Cup on other teams as well with Philly. Ton of playoff experience, gritty guy. One of the top 5 pests in the NHL, just a guy who gets underneath your skin, can play a little bit of hockey as well. And I think he's a veteran that really will work nicely in this Boston locker room. This team, being a Boston native and following this team closely, I think one of the underrated absences this year in that Boston locker room is Sean Thornton, a guy who doesn't score a lot of points, not the best hockey player, but a guy who held everyone accountable, kept it loose in the locker room. And I think Max Talbot, as a veteran, can bring something similar to what Thornton did for Boston and really help this team as they gear up for what they hope is a playoff appearance.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Brett Connolly is only 22 years old, as you said. He's got a cap hit under a mil, and he's got 12 goals on the season. He's not exactly what Boston needed, but he's not a bad piece to add here. And Max Talbot definitely helps out with Krejci being out of the lineup as a depth center.
Yeah, I think we're going to bring in Mike Huberman now to talk a little bit more about the Bruins. Mike, obviously, you are someone who follows the team closely. I know we talked in our previous podcast about potential moves the Bruins could make. How do you evaluate what the Bruins did today? Obviously, no major move, but they did do some things. And do you think this helps the team going forward?
Thanks for having me, guys. You know, guys, you made some interesting points there. Ultimately, I would put them in the loser section. I think, you know, to your point about Brett Connolly, you know, the highly regarded prospect, I'm sure most Bruin fans would rather have had the original selection from the 2010 draft still on the team. But, you know, he's a guy who has a lot of potential going forward. The question is does he reach that potential? And, you know, we've talked about this in the past. The question is, are the Bruins a better team now than they were yesterday? And I would say yes, but very, very, very little. It was a little of an upgrade. And, you know, you talk about Max Talbot. Yes, he's a nice locker room guy. He's a guy with playoff experience, and that helps. But when I looked at the Bruins this year, I'm not sure it's a need for a guy in the locker room. And they didn't make enough of a splash here to really – upgrade this team. I think Connolly's a nice little addition. Max Talbot can help out. But are they better off today than they were yesterday? And I really don't think they're appreciably better. So going forward, they still can't beat Montreal. Montreal has their number. Do they get into the playoffs? Sure, I think they're better than Florida. But, you know, this looks to be another early exit to the playoffs. And frankly, I think this could be Peter Chiarelli's last season with the team.
Just to go off that quickly, Mike, saying that you're not happy with the moves, which I agree, I'm not sure they did enough to consider them a serious contender. Who are the guys out there that you think the Bruins really could have helped themselves by getting? And would you be willing to pay the price for some of these guys? Guys like Chris Stewart went and others that went earlier in the week. Tolusti was a guy that was linked to Boston as well. Keith Yandel. Who are the guys that you think the Bruins should have really pursued and made a move at?
Well, let me say in fairness to Chiarelli that it was clearly a seller's market, and anyone he could have gotten in, we're talking about the Yandels of the world, the Eric Coles of the world, they're in on Zdlicky today, it would have been an overpay. But the question is would you have been happy to overpay for a guy that could really help you this year? The window for this team is closing. Char is closer to 40 than a lot of people like to realize, and you know, their window is now to win. So it's good to roll it over and build for next year, and a guy like Brett Connolly certainly does that. But, you know, I'm of the mind that if you have a core that could win a Stanley Cup right now, you have to do what you can to improve your team. And, again, it was a tough market for Chiarelli. I think Bruins fans kind of thought that there were names out there, you mentioned Jordan Eberle, that the Bruins would be in on, and the Bruins would make that big deal, that big splash, and it's kind of, you know, harkens back to the Caberle deal, which obviously didn't work out well for the team in terms of his performance, but they won the Stanley Cup that year. The market didn't materialize for Cirelli, so you know, he took what was in front of him. We'll see how it plays out. I don't see, as I said, I don't see this as a big upgrade, but we'll see.
All right, thanks again, Mike, for coming on, and we'll have to see how this plays out. Bruins next in action Thursday night at home against Calgary, so a couple days off here, and figure that Talbot and Conley will both be in the lineup when the Bruins take the ice on Thursday night at TD Garden. Back to
thanks
you
for having
now,
me, guys.
Ben. We're just going to talk about some of today's deals that went down. We mentioned a couple of smaller moves that the Bruins made. One move that was talked about for weeks here and finally goes down here right at the buzzer. Chris Stewart goes to Minnesota. Stewart has been in Buffalo, obviously been unhappy there. This is a guy who has a couple 20-goal seasons with St. Louis. It really never worked out in Buffalo. He was overpaid. He didn't score a lot. He was very inconsistent. Guy who's come on late. He has had success in the playoffs. What do you think about Chris Stewart going to Minnesota? And is he a guy, along with Jordan Leopold, who goes there to help them on D? Are those two guys that can help this team for the playoff run, first of all, get into the playoffs, maybe improve their seed and help that team maybe advance in the playoffs this season?
Yeah, Minnesota has definitely come on as of late, especially with the goaltending, just playing out of this world right now. Everything seems to be clicking. And bringing in these two guys, Leopold, basically a depth guy. He's a little support. He might be a third-pairing type defenseman. He brings some veteran leadership to the locker room, obviously, all thanks to his daughter, of course. Chris Stewart, though, he's the type of guy that's struggled as of recent in Buffalo, but he seems to have put together this season a little bit and regained some form. 11 goals this year. He's a guy, as you said, that used to be a near 30-goal scorer. He had two 28-goal seasons back in his St. Louis days. He's a guy that can definitely find the puck when everything's clicking, a former first-round pick. Thing about him going to a team like Minnesota is he's not going to be asked to be a second-liner. He's going to be a third-line guy. He's not going to be the go-to guy up there in Minnesota. So as far as a depth move and for not having to give up that much to get him, I like this move for Minnesota.
Another big trade that happened today right at the buzzer. This one kind of snuck under a lot of the insiders' noses. We didn't really hear too many rumors about this guy in particular going today. He'd been rumored in the past week or so, but it all was quiet on the front here with James Wisniewski. And after the 3 o'clock deadline, I think this was about 3:40, it gets announced that Wisniewski goes from Columbus back to Anaheim, where he's played a number of seasons, and really earned a big contract with Columbus after playing well in Anaheim. What do you think Wisniewski does for Anaheim on the back line? And do you think a guy like that is one of those moves that can help push this Ducks team that looks to have all the pieces to be an NHL contender, an NHL Stanley Cup contender?
Oh, I mean, 51 points last year, having a good season this year in Columbus. He immediately goes in there. Let me read to you currently what they have as their top 60. They have Cam Fowler, they have James Wisniewski, Buchman, Lindholm, Dupre, and of course Vatanen. Once he comes back from injury, right now they're going to go between Holzer and Stoner, I believe. So, I mean, that potentially is the best six right there, assuming Vatanen comes back rather soon from injury. This guy adds so much more to the point from the offensive perspective to an already very, very good Anaheim team. This might be the best defense in the league now.
Yeah, I agree. One other team that really upgraded their D and added another guy, I think they could be in that argument as well for having one of the best two or three defensive cores in the NHL. Everyone talks about Nashville and Anaheim are two of the front runners here. L.A. in the past has had a very good defense. They're obviously boosted that with Sekera. What do you think about the move here? Kind of an under-the-radar move, but St. Louis grabs Zdeněk Mihalík here for a pretty good deal. They get some help with the contract, and he's a guy that's just going to fill out in that third pair. What do you think that does for St. Louis's back line? And with recent issues, you being a goaltender with the goaltending here and juggling between Elliott and Allen, do you think St. Louis, is this the year they finally make that deep playoff run? This has been a team that had a core together here for a few years now, but they seem to run into a buzzsaw and go out in 7 games in the playoffs. Is this a team that can make a deep run, and do you consider them a Stanley Cup contender now that they've made a couple additions here, both in the forward ranks and on the back line? And do you really trust either of these goalies to be a number one guy?
I mean, obviously St. Louis's defense is potentially even better than Anaheim's right now if you look at those top six. And everything seems to be clicking for them as of recent, minus the goaltending. Brian Elliott is a capable goaltender, as is Jake Allen. Brian Elliott is a guy that can get it done. I think that St. Louis is immediately in the Stanley Cup contention, especially coming out of the West. This is a team that seems like they might have finally gotten to that point. You're talking about Shattenkirk, Pietrangelo, Bullmeister, Gunderson, Mihalik, and Jackman back there. They added Bortuzzo today as well. They'll have Butler in the mix. But this is definitely a very solid defense. They have the pieces up front, adding Stastny in the offseason. This is a team that definitely could make a run out of the West, and I'm not as concerned with the goaltending as many are. I think despite lack of experience in the playoffs, a guy like Brian Elliott could definitely get it done for St. Louis.
All right, we're going to get into our winners and losers in a moment, but just a couple other guys I think we should mention here today and last night. Detroit's a team that I think made two good moves here. Eric Cole's a guy who's having a very good season in Dallas, obviously a terrific skater. I think he has 17 goals at this point this season. A guy with a lot of playoff experience on a young, talented Detroit team that has their veterans. They have their Datsyuk and Zetterberg, but around those guys, a lot of youngsters, Nyquist, Tatar, Glenn Denning, Riley Shahan. I mean, this is a guy, Cole, who fits that system. He's a great skater, and this is one of the faster teams in the league. I think Eric Cole's a nice pickup there. You talk about adding Zdlicky on the back line. I think it gives him a veteran defensive presence, a guy who can really anchor a power play, has one of the best shots in the league. I think Detroit's a team that made a couple moves here late in the shot clock in the last day or so that I think could really help them elevate their stature right now in the Eastern Conference. And one other team, you being a Rangers fan, and I just think we should go a little bit more into this Keith Yandle deal. What do you think of this deal? The Rangers get Keith Yandle, obviously, a guy who can play both ends of the ice on the defensive line, a great power play guy, having a tough year in the plus-minus department, but everybody really is for Arizona. Do you think the Rangers gave up too much? And do you like the move by Sather here, with basically saying, we're going to go for it now and grab Yandle, who can help that power play immediately, and really give the Rangers another veteran presence on the back line?
The Rangers are actually one of my winners of the trade deadline today. I mean, yes, they overpaid. That you almost can't argue. Anthony Duclair is going to be a superstar, I think, in this league. He's super young, but he has extreme raw talent. John Moore is kind of a toss-in type deal. I'm okay with John Moore moving, you know, from the picks. They definitely overpaid for Yandle. And he's a guy that can immediately come in, though, and make this team potentially the best in the East. The East is wide open. And I mean, you talked about the plus-minus numbers. I'm not even going to look at those for a team like Arizona. What I do look at is his power play numbers. Of all the defensemen in the league, he's number one in defensive points on the power play. He's number 10 in the league in defensive points overall with 41. Arizona took a ton of salary from this. So I'm okay with Yandle coming in and playing some good minutes for the Rangers here, despite what they gave up. Rangers immediately become big. Component out of the East. The other team that is a winner for me is the other team that I'm looking at to come out of the East, and that's Montreal. They went and got Jeff Petrie today. He's a 27-year-old defenseman with just over $3 million against the cap. He's going to be a second pairing type guy behind PK and Markov up there. So they definitely made some good moves today. They went out and added Brian Flynn, Torrey Mitchell, and, of course, last week they added Devontae Smith-Pelly, some depth forwards. They did what they had to do. They didn't do anything super exciting, but they did what they had to do. They added some good pieces to an already very good team, so they're my second winner on the day. Who do you like out of this trade deadline as your winner?
I think there's two teams that, for me, that stuck out. I mentioned Detroit. I think they were close third, but my number one team, I think, is Pittsburgh. And it goes back to the entire season. Pittsburgh made a move in January when they were struggling on offense uncharacteristically. The problem with this team has been goaltending and defense in the past. This year, offense was a struggle the first half of the year. They pick up David Perron, who was coming off a goal season in Edmonton. They get him in January. He has 10 goals since joining the Penguins and really filled in nicely on one of those top two lines. Late last week, they made a move and added some depth. We know this team has plenty of offensive firepower. Hornquist, Perron, Crosby, Malkin, Letang, so many offensive weapons here. But adding a guy like Daniel Winnick, I think, is one of those glue guys that Pittsburgh severely lacked. Winnick's going to fit in really nice there in the third line as center. He got an assist last night in his debut. This is one of the better penalty killers in the league, a guy who has some size. He's played, I think, 15 or 16 playoff games. He's a plus 15 on a terrible team up in Toronto, which says how good of an individual season he's having. Winnick doesn't need to be a big scorer for Pittsburgh. They're going to really rely on him for defensive forward responsibilities, playing on the penalty kill, and just giving them depth so they can roll four lines more and not rely so heavily on the top two lines with Malkin and Crosby. They picked up a couple of veteran defensemen, which I think was an important move. Ian Cole comes over from St. Louis, a veteran who was a plus 16 this season. Wasn't playing as regularly as he'd like, but Ian Cole's a nice pickup because you talk about Pittsburgh missing Ali Mata. He's out for the year after shoulder surgery. I think Ian Cole is a stay-at-home defenseman that will help them shore up that back line. And that's ditto for Ben Lovejoy. Lovejoy comes over from Anaheim. He played 5 years in Pittsburgh earlier in his career, coming off a plus 21 last year. This guy plays about 18 minutes a game. You throw these two guys as your third pair, or even have one of these guys as an extra defenseman, I think that really helps your case here if you're Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh didn't make any giant moves, but the four moves they made all helped this team, and I think really elevate them as one of the East top favorites. My other winner at the deadline with the Ducks, I talked about the Wisniewski deal. I think they're going to get the best out of him. He didn't really want to be in Columbus any longer. Wisniewski comes back to Anaheim where he thrived earlier in his career. This is a guy who, like you said, puts up big points, 51 points last year. He can play the power play. And you talk about that six you mentioned earlier. This is such a deep defensive core now for Anaheim. Up front, they made two smaller deals. You mentioned Smith-Pelly going to Montreal. I really like this trade for both teams. I think this is the underrated trade of the deadline. Smith-Pelly gives Montreal something they need in terms of physicality, a power forward presence who can also put the puck in the net at age 22. And then going back, Seacatch, I think, is the opposite for the Ducks. He brings a lot of skill to that lineup. A guy who flourished early on in his career in Montreal this season. 22 years old as well. A guy with just filthy hands who has some highlight reel goals early. He's already made a huge addition and influence already in this Anaheim lineup. I think he's one guy that helps them get some more skill in the bottom two lines they have. And the same can be said about Thomas Fleischmann. Fleischmann comes over from Florida. Who I was surprised, we talked about this in the other cast, I was surprised Florida could move him, considering they don't have a lot of offensive power as it is. Fleischmann's a guy who's had some good years in the league with Washington. Obviously, Bruce Boudreau, the coach there in Anaheim, knows his game well. I think Fleischmann's another one of these forwards that just brings skill to Anaheim, and this makes this a very deep team, not only in the back line, like we mentioned with Wisniewski, but adding Sakach and Fleischmann gives them two more forwards to pair with guys like Perry and Getzlaf and Kessler, who everybody knows are banner players and all-stars year in and year out. Now talking quickly about the losers of the deadline, some teams that you think failed to address needs or maybe gave up too much for guys here at the deadline or gave up on players. What do you think about potential losers from this deadline who really didn't do what they needed to do?
Yeah, I got two for you. The first one being the Islanders, probably. They went out and added Neuwirth, which was something I was actually talking about yesterday, needing to address that backup goalie. A strong move for them. In the 29 starts since coming to Buffalo last year at the trade deadline, actually in a trade for the Islanders' current starter, Halak, he's had a 92.1 save percentage, good numbers. He's definitely a nice add for them. Unfortunately, they didn't address that terrible, terrible penalty kill that's going to bite them in the playoffs, I think. Instead, they went and got a guy like Tyler Kennedy, who, you know, he put together 5 straight years with double-digit goals. Unfortunately, that was 3 years ago now. Since then, he's just basically a third-line depth guy that doesn't play the PK. I think they missed out big by not addressing that penalty kill. And the other team that I would definitely look at is Ottawa, because they did nothing, absolutely nothing. Unfortunately, they're stuck right in the middle right now. They're not setting themselves up to tank. They're not getting draft picks, but they're also not going to make the playoffs. They had the pieces that could move. They had Milan Mihalic. You know, he's a winger with 28 goals over the last 2 years. That he was definitely a piece that could have been moved. There was talks about Colin Greening possibly being moved this morning. But Ottawa is the only team in the NHL that hasn't made a move over the last month. That's absurd. That's ridiculous. In fact, they haven't made a deal since July. So in my eyes, Ottawa is definitely a big-time loser out of this deadline. How about you? What do you look at and not like from this deadline?
Yeah, for me, I already explained why I think the Bruins are subtly aren't a loser. I don't think they're a big winner, but I don't think they're a definite loser. I'm high on Connolly. I think they could get a steal on that one. My two losers are San Jose, similar to Ottawa, but even a worse case. San Jose is a team that's right in the thick of the playoff race as we speak. This is a team with an aging core, Patrick Marleau, Niemi, and Nett, who is also rumored to be on the move. You're 2 points out of a playoff spot. Joe Thornton not getting any younger. Marlowe's not getting any younger. To have such an older core, why not try to get somebody here to help your squad, especially when you're fighting for even to make a playoff appearance? They're kind of stuck in the middle like we talked about with Ottawa, but I'm just surprised at what's going on in San Jose. This team was supposed to break up last year after blowing the 3-0 series lead to the Kings. They keep the majority of the team together. That core is still an effective core in the NHL. They just have to make that move in the playoffs that they've yet to do. Time is running out for San Jose, and I'm surprised they didn't go out and try to get a veteran that could help them offensively. I think Eric Cole was a guy who could have helped them. Maybe they could have pried Alex Tanguay out of Colorado, but just surprised that San Jose wasn't in on any of these veteran forwards or didn't try to add a depth defenseman like a Mihalic that could help them on the back line. My other team that really, I think, was a subtle loser, I don't think the Flames were a disaster because this is such a young team with such a young core. They didn't give up anything, which I think is big. They didn't give up any of their young stars. They didn't overpay for a veteran rental. But I do think they could have made a couple smaller moves. One hand, they give away Glenn Cross for very little. Glenn Cross is one of the few veterans they have on that team. This team only has four guys that really have any playoff experience considerably. Weidman, Hudler, Raymond, and Bolick are really the only guys who play only skaters that have played much playoff experience. Hiller and Nett obviously have some experience with the Ducks. And then they lose Mark Giordano, who is one of the best defensemen in the NHL. 48 points, second in the league, 11 goals among defensemen, plus 13. He's their anchor. He's out for the rest of the year. That was announced today. The Flames know he's going to be out for the rest of the season. Why not, when you're tied for a playoff spot right now, you're ahead of schedule in your rebuilding process. Lightning's kind of hit the bottle here. Why not go out and try to get some cover for Giordano? We mentioned Mihalic. We mentioned Yandel. Petrie was a guy that could have potentially been available. And then I also think they could have added a veteran forward, Jágr, Stepniak, Eric Cole. Alex Tanguay mentioned, Talbot, Derek Roy, two teams that I think were stuck in the middle and didn't make a move one way or the other to really help them push over the top. Some other guys that weren't moved today, Kessel, Eberle, I don't think there were too many surprises, and I think really it was an exciting deadline, and most of the guys we expected to be moved were moved.
Yeah, I agree. And another guy that was kind of talked about moving didn't was Cam Atkinson. And he signed a 3-year deal today, giving him about $3.5 million annually. 25 years old, 13 goals this year, 21 last year. Great deal for Columbus. I really like it as a frontline right winger at a good price.
I agree. I think Atkinson, get him cheap. He's still very young, a very fast skater who has a very good hockey pedigree. I think that's a nice move for Columbus. That's about all the time we have tonight. It's been fun getting on here. This is going to be a regular thing here as we come down the stretch towards the playoffs. For Gus Elvin
and Ben Arledge, thanks for listening to the
Ben Arledge, thanks for listening.